Hey guys, welcome to the Good Warfare Podcast. I'm your host, Lily Alfaro, and this is the place where we will uncover life lessons from the Bible and insights for everyday life, sharing reflections from our monthly book club picks and exploring how to live out our faith in the workplace. Welcome to another episode. Today, we're going to be studying a few chapters in Genesis, focusing on the life of Lot and his family. Let's turn to Genesis 11. Here we find the genealogy of Abraham and Lot. Abraham was Lot's uncle, and they traveled together out of Ur of the Chaldeans, or Babylonia, to go to the land of Canaan. And I'm going to stop right here to share something interesting, which is something I love about the Bible, how it is so intertwined. So listen closely. The last book of the Bible, Revelation, chapter 18 to be more exact, has God telling us that Babylon, a religious kingdom who defies God's kingdom, has fallen, meaning it has turned away from biblical truth. And then here in Genesis, you have, which is the first book of the Bible, you have God calling his people out of Ur of the Chaldeans or Babylonia. Isn't that so cool? Well, as you're reading your Bible and as you're doing your Bible study, keep a close eye for similar findings like this and other nuggets which are so interesting. And then please let me know if you find any. Moving on now to Genesis 13, where we find out that Abram and Lot's herdsmen were not getting along. We read in Genesis 13:6 the reason why. The land was not able to support them, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And also, we are told in verse 7 that the Canaanites and the Perizzites were also dwelling in that land. Just imagine how challenging this must have been for everyone there. And it was also not a good witness to their unbelieving neighbors, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, to have Abraham and Lot's herdsmen in conflict. Which leads to our first lesson in this Bible study, which is to be a good witness for Christ to our neighbors. And that includes everyone who we interact with on a daily basis. This also means that we can't be going to church and then doing the opposite of that, meaning cursing, drinking, being angered, or partying with the world. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, it says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." In other words, we need to decide if we're going to be with God or not. We can't be in the middle, swing from one side to the other when we feel like it. Now, back to Genesis 13. We're looking at verses 8 and 9 now. Here, Abram was wise to tell Lot to separate from him to avoid further issues, since they were, as Abram put it, brethren. Notice what Lot does next. The Bible says in Genesis 13, verses 10 through 11, that Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. I read it quite fast, so you may have missed a few lessons here. So for starters, Lot wasn't the patriarch, so he should have allowed Abram to pick first. As Christians, we should know our place and be fair and humble in all our dealings. We read in Micah 6:8, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Now, the next lesson here is that when we look out for ourselves first, it can backfire on us. Let's read what it says in Philippians 2:4. "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Now, how does this apply here, specifically in this interaction between Lot and Abram? So, we can read in Genesis 14 how it backfired on Lot. Because of where he chose to live, he got involved in Scripture's first earthly war and was taken along with all of his goods. See that in Genesis 14:12. It's a good thing that Abram went to rescue him and didn't hold any grudges against him. because who knows what might have happened to him had Abram not gone to rescue him. And next, we go on to the third lesson here, which is that because Abram was in the will of God, conflict didn't come to him like it did to Lot. Had Lot chosen what God would have wanted for him, he most likely would not have been involved in that war. So next time we have conflict around us, we should ask ourselves if we are in the will of God or not. And now for the fourth lesson from Genesis 13, I'm going to give you a quote from Ellen White, which says, "Many who should be setting their tents near to the land of Canaan are pitching their camp near to Egypt." In other words, we should be striving to live closer to God than following the ways of this world. So in the case of Lot, Lot beheld the beauty and life of Sodom and settled. Yet the Bible tells us what we should be beholding. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Here it says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Did you catch that? The verse says, by beholding, we shall be changed into his likeness. So the more we focus on Christ, the more transformed we will be. Now, the final lesson in Genesis 13 is quite a bit of a few things. It's that God will keep his promises to you, so don't compare yourself to others. Focus on what God has promised you, because he who promised is faithful, Hebrews 10:23. You see, after Lot separated from Abram, God spoke to Abram and gave him a promise, and God kept that promise to him. It's in Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 through 17. Now, that's quite a bit to read, but I think we should read it, just to remind ourselves of the promise. "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, 'Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you.'" What a beautiful promise. And from the surface, it may have seemed that Lot was better off once they separated, but God reminded him that he would still care for Abram. Now we move to Genesis 19, but pay very close attention, because if you're not paying close attention, you might miss a whole lot that's happening. So it starts with two angels arriving in Sodom in the evening. Lot happened to be sitting in the gate of Sodom and invites them into his house. But let's read their dialogue. "Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, 'Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may arise early and go on your way.' And they said, 'No, but we will spend the night in the open square.' But he insisted strongly, so they turned in to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate." First thing here is, I want you to notice how in verse 3 it says that Lot insisted strongly for them to go to his house. He knew how Sodom was and did not want to leave them in the midst of the evening lawlessness in the open square. So something I want you guys to pay attention to is that, yes, these were angels, so they already knew how Sodom was. And later in this chapter, we read that these are the same angels that tell Lot to leave because Sodom will be destroyed by them. And if you go back one chapter, so to Genesis chapter 18, verse 22, we read that Abraham was trying to intercede with God for Sodom, and that there were men who went toward Sodom to follow through with God's plan. These quote unquote men were angels. These here who we find out about in Genesis 19, who went toward Sodom with a specific purpose. And we find out, if you go to Psalm 78, verse 49, the type of angels that they were. And Psalm 78, verse 49 says, "He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. So fitting, since Sodom was going to be destroyed, that angels of destruction were sent to Lot. I know that was probably a mouthful, so if you didn't grab all that and you want to look at that a little bit closer, just go to the show notes and there you'll be able to follow that a bit better. But anyway, moving on to the lessons in Genesis 19. So the life lessons from Genesis 19 start with the hospitality that Lot showed. When these angels arrived to carry out God's plan on Sodom, Lot was the only righteous person that was found. He took them in and he protected them. Lot unselfishly offered his virgin daughters to the vile men outside his doors. He exemplified the second greatest commandment, which is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," Matthew 26:39, because really, who would offer their own child to be abused by despicable men? No one in their right mind would do that. But anyway, the hospitality that Lot showed towards these men, who were really angels, reminds me of what it says in Hebrews 13:2, which says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Well, now we can move on to the next couple of verses, specifically verse 9, where we learn that the evil men of Sodom were wanting to break Lot's door, but now the angels were protecting Lot, which brings Proverbs 11:25 to mind, which says, "He who waters will also be watered himself." Our second lesson from Genesis 19. So the first one was hospitality, and the second one was about being refreshed after refreshing others. And as we continue reading, the angels share with Lot what will happen to Sodom. So in verses 12 and 13 of Genesis 19. So once Lot knows, he goes to speak to his sons-in-law, who actually think he's joking and choose not to listen, and they stay behind. So this brings us to our third lesson, which is to be careful not to throw our salvation because we are so consumed by the cares and pleasures of this world. So if you think about it, his sons-in-law must have really loved Sodom and were blind to the sinfulness of Sodom to have thought that Lot was joking. I imagine that Lot must have told them about the angels coming to him and warning him. It reminds me of the verse that I read earlier in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, where it says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot." Well, it's pretty clear which side Lot's sons-in-law chose, unfortunately. I wonder who else stayed back with Lot's sons-in-law. I wonder if Lot had grandchildren who stayed back. So I'm sure that he was going through a lot of internal struggle, and part of the reason why he lingered, according to what it says in verse 16, which we'll touch on next episode, we'll end here for now. So be on the lookout for a part 2 where we'll talk about what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened to Lot's wife and the meaning behind it. We'll also look at what happened between Lot and his daughters, and we'll find the lessons and the biblical principles from there. Hope you'll join us next time. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Good Warfare Podcast. I trust that it has ignited a spark in your faith journey, leading you one step closer to God's purpose for your life. If you found value in today's discussion, please consider sharing it with a friend and leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps spread the message of God's hope and truth to others. And remember, if you have any prayer requests or simply want to connect, feel free to reach out via email. Until next time, may God's blessings abound in your life. Take care, and God bless you abundantly.